WTLC AM Indianapolis. Indy's choice for inspiration and praise. AM 1310, The Light.
Welcome back to the second half of Afternoons with Amos. I'm Amos Brown. Glad to have you here. We have legislative candidates for the State House of Representatives tomorrow, candidates for prosecutor and sheriff later in the week. But in the House now, because, Drew, it's homecoming week at Martin University.
That's right.
You didn't even know the Bears. That's the mascot.
That's
the
right.
Bears
the
of Martin University.
That's right.
Celebrating homecoming week. They ain't playing
that's
nobody,
right.
But they celebrate homecoming week.
And they're undefeated, baby.
Undefeated. And the chief bear of Martin University, Dr. Eugene White, is in the house. Doc, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
You leave IPS, you done got 10 years younger. Amen.
Oh, I'll tell my wife that, but I feel good, man. I feel good, that's for sure.
So what's happening tomorrow? You all got homecoming week events, you got gear,
yeah,
sweatshirts.
We have a wonderful lineup for homecoming. We're starting off with the President's Breakfast, where we're going to recognize three outstanding alumni for their contributions to their professions, and we're going to recognize three other individuals who have been very supportive of the university, and we are going to follow that program up with a street dedication for Father Boniface Harden.
What street you all going to dedicate?
We're going to rename 22nd Street between Olney and Sherman.
Okay.
The Father Boniface Harden Memorial Way.
Father Harden Way on 22nd Street.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
And so that's a great way to open up homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Tuesday, we have a big gospel concert Tuesday evening.
Okay.
For, you know, if you can't throw a test down, you can get happy at the gospel concert.
There you go.
And get some exercise. Wednesday, we have a hip-hop play.
Oh.
Thursday, we have the career fair in the afternoon.
Hmm.
We also have on Friday a family fun night activity. We have an arts show that week, and we have on Saturday we have the alumni reception and dance.
Oh,
so it's going to be an active week, and we're excited.
You even got something where you say bring a friend to class.
Oh yeah, part of the idea behind this is to let other people see what's going on at Martin University.
Right.
We realize a lot of people don't really understand what's happening there, so we've allowed our students and faculty and staff to bring a friend to class during the homecoming week so they can see what's happening at Martin.
So, you know, first of all, how's enrollment?
Enrollment for first semester is about 404 students.
Is that up, down, side, steady?
That was a little lower than we wanted. We wanted to be above 500,
mm-hmm.
but we stressed it out. We're looking to hit 420 to 450 for mm-hmm. spring semester.
Mm-hmm.
If we hit that, we'll be in good shape. If we don't, then we have to make some budget adjustments. Mm-hmm. But we feel good because we're getting feedback from our faculty
right. That
our students are very conscientious and they're really working hard this semester, so we feel good about that.
Are you still more older students than students right out of high school?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. For the spring semester, about 22% of our students were between the age of 18 and 25. Our average age is about 35. It's about 67% female. And that's kind of our breakdown.
So now you've been over there in the president's office at Martin, what, 8-9 months now?
No, for a year.
Full year. So what was the biggest adjustment going to a university of 400 to 500 instead of some little school system of 31,000?
Well, I tell you what, it's, when you work in, K-12 for 43 years,
mm-hmm.
anything you do is going to be a big adjustment. But I had been on the Board of Trustees at Butler. I had been president of Ball State Alumni Teachers College for a lot of years. I had been on the school, the visitation team for the IU School of Education.
Right.
And so I had a lot of interactions with higher ed. In the old days, I was president of the North Central Association.
Right.
So I had some affiliation with higher education, so mm-hmm. it wasn't a complete shock per se, but it's a different pace. Mm-hmm. People are more deliberate mm-hmm. at higher ed,
right.
and the sense of urgency is not as great as it was at K-12. And I think I made a pretty good adjustment to it. We are a little more deliberate and a little faster than we used to be. But it's a nice pace. We've spent a lot of time on identifying those things that makes Martin University unique.
Right.
And we think, based on the feedback from our students and faculty and staff, probably the most unique thing about the university is its culture. And it's the culture that Father Harden and Sister Jane Schilling developed there.
Right.
So we have done a lot to try to make the university a student-centered university. This fall, we spent a lot of time on getting students to know that we're there to help them be successful. All the students have a mentor. We even changed the parking arrangements to put the students up front.
No.
Oh, yes, we did. And I
moved. You got to park closer to Sherman Drive?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm almost on Sherman. But the method.
So sometimes it's the little things?
It's the little things. And during the first fall semester, we had about four or five young ladies who could not enroll because they had no one to take care of their children when they were in class. So starting in the spring semester in January, we're going to have a drop-in center for parents when they're in class. They can drop the students off to the drop-in center and pick them up once they get out of class. That's something. It's another step in that direction. We open our student center for the fall semester for them to have a place to go and relax and what have you. So we're trying to do different things to let them know that there's a special culture at Martin. And part of that is our emphasis on our Student Success Center. We've enhanced the Student Success Center, and it's a place that they know they can get help when they need it for anything from remediation to course-ending projects they have to do. They can get support there.
Right.
So we think that we made a positive step in the right direction. We have to keep going.
Where are you guys with the accrediting agency that kind of said, all right, Dr. White, you know, we know your reputation, we know the work, but you got, you know, X amount of time to get it together?
Well, we had our peer review team from the Higher Learning Commission was in during the middle of September, and they were there for 3 days to validate the self-study that we did. We had four things we had to really work on, and we think we impressed them in their visit. They have asked for an extension of time. They have asked for an extension of time to do their report, and so we will know just how well we did, but we won't know until June just how well we did. So we will see. I tell you what, in this case, that's a good thing. Because I know they want to recommend that not only do we continue on accreditation, because we have accreditation, but they want to drop the probation citation that we had. And so we feel good about that. We think that we will be able to achieve that. That's really the first big step. And I think we made a lot of progress. So based on the work put into that, we're very, very very, very pleased by our progress right now. So we're hoping that that will be behind us after June.
So now I hate to ask this question, but this goes with Martin University. Have you all dealt with the problems of getting your money from the Fed so that the students can get reimbursed on the cut they get off of the Pell Grants?
Well, see, we have made that better. We've kind of mastered the ACM2 process where we had to go through a third party. Come January, we will have all of that done, because January is the time that we will completely satisfy the U.S. Department of Education obligation that the university had. So it should be a straight line relationship between us and the Department of Education after the month of January. So we feel good about that.
239-1310, 239-1310 with Dr. Eugene White, the president of Martin University, former school superintendent of some big university. I know you've been working in here with the Bears. with the Martin University Bears.
That's
getting
right.
ready for the big homecoming. Father Boniface Harden Way on 22nd between Olney and Sherman Drive.
Right.
All the activities. Plus, there's been... I get the feeling you want another one of those as Indy like Ferguson events at Martin University every month. Cause y'all have had more publicity and more media about this stuff, this thing Monday night. I'm beginning to think it may set a record for a crowd in the Gathertorium.
Well, you know, that'll be a nice thing to see, Amos, because the record I've seen so far has been commencement.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to break that record. But, we think, in working with a magistrate, Gaither mm-hmm. and Dr. Gavia, one of our instructors who teach criminal justice and all of that, they kind of coordinated this program. It's really a public forum, and they're going to be speaking to the topic of if any Ferguson waiting to happen, and we have an all-star lineup of panelists that's yeah. going to be responding to that, and we really feel like it's going to be a great thing for the community. Now, Chief Height is going to be there, and of course he has a first-hand look at the...
By the superintendent of the state police up in there.
Oh, yeah. And we're trying to get a variety of opinion mm-hmm. and a response. But you know, Amos, this is something that's timely, and people need to think about this because anything is possible.
That's
and,
right.
For Martin University, we, in the next 3 years, we want to have our first PhD program. We have bachelor's mm-hmm. programs and right. two master's programs. But we want to have our first doctorate program in urban leadership because we feel that we need to do some serious research in solving problems, predicting problems, as opposed to responding to problems all the time. And so so all of this kind of folds right. into that.
Right.
Martin, that's a nice niche for Martin to fill. We need to facilitate community discourse, and we need to have people to ask the serious questions and discuss right. them. So we're just pleased that Magistrate Gaither wanted to kind of moderate the whole thing, and that we got a bunch of people coming over to help out in the discussion.
Now, I got to ask you, as an elder of K-12 education,
yes.
K-12 urban education.
Yeah.
And I know you still talk to your colleagues who are school superintendents of the big urban school districts. Do we need to be concerned about the influx of big money in those school districts that still elect school board members? I know this happened in L.A., with L.A., was it Los Angeles United?
The
money was being spent in that district, like 40 going west.
Right.
I think it's obviously happening here in Indianapolis, other places. Do we need to be concerned about that?
Well, I think you need to be concerned about that because the power of the media is so tremendous in this type of situation. Many people don't know the candidates. Mm-hmm. And if candidates have money to buy airtime and to buy mailings and mm-hmm. pamphlets and what have you, it has a tremendous impact. And we've seen that happen before here.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think we need to be concerned because the common citizen or the common
right.
parent,
right.
Quite often is left out of the process because they really don't understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think it's a point that we need to take some serious thought to. And that's, they had a school board discussion at Martin,
mm-hmm.
where they had some candidates there.
Yeah.
I think that people need to get out and hear the candidates because Amos, they have a multiple view of what they want to do, especially let's say in IPS.
Right.
And parents need to know just which way they want to go. But
mm-hmm.
I do think that money buys airtime, it buys pamphlets and mailings.
Should there be full disclosure? Should the community know if Joe Blow is supporting Eugene White for school board, how much Joe Blow is giving, how much that campaign is, you know, is spending?
I really think it should be. I really think there should be so that they can know who's influencing the outcome of the voting.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that that influences the outcome of the voting, and I think that should be a requirement. I'm not saying put a limit on it,
mm-hmm.
but I'm saying...
You can't put a limit on it. The Supreme Court said, no,
right.
you can't do that.
But I'm saying we should know who's giving what.
Mm-hmm. One final thing, and this, because this has come up involving an IPS school. And as I remember right, when you, in your final years as superintendent, IPS had a policy that if somebody was caught with a dangerous weapon at an IPS yeah. school, you guys let everybody know.
Yes.
About it. He didn't give a great detail, but hey, somebody was found with a gun, they were arrested, move on. And evidently that policy doesn't exist anymore from a broad perspective, whether it's a university, whether it is a K through 12, whether it's even a nursery school. If somebody's found with a dangerous weapon where we've got students, whether they're the littlest ones, high school, elementary school, or even college, shouldn't there be, if somebody's arrested with a dangerous weapon, shouldn't the public be told somebody was arrested with a dangerous weapon?
That is not necessarily a policy. It's just a routine, and that's what we think is a responsible routine, and most school districts let that be known. But IPS, because of being an urban school district, we went overboard to make sure people knew everything of that nature going on, because we didn't want people to accuse us of hiding things. Mm-hmm. And so not only did we send letters to parents, make phone calls and what have you, but we put in the newspaper, and you know that because you dealt with a lot of those issues. But that was our priority when it came to public relations and communication. It wasn't a policy. It just was the primary practice of our district.
All right. It is homecoming week.
Undefeated.
They undefeated, Drew.
Yeah, yeah.
Colts aren't even undefeated.
That's right.
Only other team undefeated right now is the Royals in postseason play. Why the Bears?
Well, you know, I don't know why Martin chose the mascot of the Bears, but I think it's appropriate. But right now we have the sleeping Bears because we're not actively in competition. But one of the hopes we have, Amos, is to within the next 4 or 5 years to have athletic teams in basketball and volleyball or something like that. So that's our hope. We hope to wake the Bears up over the next 3 to 5 years, and you'll see some competition going on.
All right. Dr. Eugene White, he's the president of Martin University. If you want to know what activities they've got going on for homecoming week.
That's right.
All you got to do is go to they got a new fancy website at Martin University, which is, let me go back to the homepage here. There it is. Martin.edu. www.martin.edu. Dr. Eugene White, always good to see you. Thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Thank you, Amos.